think a lot of people might be misled about what is meant by a trial in this situation, a military commission trial. What should we know about that?
Well, the first thing is that it's going to take years to get there. These charges originally were brought in February 2008, and so it's been, what is that, 15, 16 years of pretrial motions. And they're nowhere close to being done with that. Then once you get to a trial, there are going to be all sorts of issues about, again, the CIA producing witnesses to what they did to these men, not just in the merits phase, but also in the sentencing phase, and then also where it took place. Like, we have a lot of sensitive diplomatic kind of concerns around where the secret prisons the CIA held these men in were located, right? So that may stand in the way of actually conducting a trial. And after that, you've got appeals into a military appeal system, and then from there into the appellate courts in the federal system, and then to the Supreme Court. So, again, the oldest of these defendants is 56 years old. They are de facto already serving life sentences if you think that these cases are never going to come to a resolution after a trial and appeals. And so, again, it made perfect sense for the prosecutors to pursue this. The real question is kind of, what was Lloyd Austin thinking? He had to have been aware that these negotiations were underway and were pretty close to being resolved. The New York Times even reported over the weekend that DOD officials knew about the progress of the negotiations. So why the reversal? I mean, I think there's no explanation other than politics in the election.
That's what I was going to ask, because Austin says he's long believed that military trials were the only way forward. So that rings a little weird given the timing.
Well, when you see people like Tom Cotton coming out and saying that this is Biden being soft on the terrorists with the plea bargain deal, you can understand why it might have been everybody's preferred timing on the political end for this to happen after November. You know, but what comes next? Look, first, there'll be legal challenges. There are very narrow circumstances where a signed pretrial agreement like this, a plea bargain agreement, can be withdrawn. So I think the defendants are first probably going to challenge whether or not what Austin tried to do in voiding the agreements was even effective, whether he has power to void them. And on top of that, military prosecutors are supposed to be relatively independent from people above them in the chain of command. In the federal civilian criminal system, everybody knows that President Trump can remove the attorney general if he doesn't like some prosecution that he's undertaking, right? But there are some norms about how the AG is supposed to be relatively independent in making judgment calls, right? Well, on the military system, those aren't norms. They're actually written into the two major statutes, the Military Commissions Act and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So when you have a civilian official like Lloyd Austin, a political appointee, trying to pull the strings on a prosecutor's judgment, it's a serious problem. And dismissal of the case is the usual remedy for that. So again, something that could add years and years more delay to a system that wasn't exactly moving along quickly.
All right, then we'll end on that note. We've been speaking with Shaina Katidal, Senior Managing Attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights. You can track their work on Guantanamo cases and others at ccrjustice.org. Shaina Katidal, thank you so much for joining us this week on Counterspin.
Thanks for having me.
And that's it for Counterspin for this week. Counterspin is brought to you by the Media Watch Group FAIR, based in New York. If you missed part of today's show or you'd like to hear previous shows, you can find years of shows and transcripts on our website, FAIR.org. The website is also the place to learn about FAIR's newsletter Extra and to show support for the show if you are able and so inclined. The show is engineered by Riley Baer. I'm Janine Jackson. Thank you for listening to Counterspin. Welcome to Counterspin, your weekly look behind the headlines. I'm Janine Jackson. This week on Counterspin, few corporations have changed the U.S. business and consumer model more than Amazon. So when that corporate behemoth buys one of the country's national papers, it's a conflict.
Everyone has a community. A neighborhood, school, place of worship, or other chosen groups. Communities can provide support when you need it, including helping your kids avoid underage drinking and other substance use. Learn more at talktheyhearyou.samhsa.gov.
Did you know that Lyme disease is the most prevalent tick-borne illness, with about 220,000 new cases occurring each year? Believe it or not, you can test negative for Lyme and still be infected. Many victims of Lyme report never seeing a bullseye rash, and it can be very difficult to diagnose because it mimics other illnesses, such as multiple sclerosis, ALS, and Alzheimer's. To learn more, go to www.lymediseaseassociation.org.
Here's a special edition of In Black America and Ebony Spectrum for you. Happy holidays.
The police is coming down the street right now for somebody.
Oh, Lord. Not in my house.
Maybe Joe Biden is going to free some people.
Oh, Lord.
Let us pray.
You guys, I ordered a black tree.
I love it.
What is that a reflection of?
Being black, everything black. I might wear black all next year for the uniform instead of jean. I'm feeling real black right now.
We're broadcasting a very special Christmas segment and a couple of our favorite therapeutic mini pods from over the past year.
Is this space really safe? And that conversation, y'all, got pretty heated.
Is it safer in the shallow or the deep?
I protect my peace. That is the mode I'm in.
It's probably why I don't make resolutions anymore.
You make pancake batter from scratch or it's out the box?
Hell no, from the box.
Let's battle them.
So pull up a chair and join us. Native Land Pod is a production of iHeartRadio in partnership with Reason Choice Media.
Welcome, 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 welcome.
Hey, fam, we hope you had an amazing Christmas and also happy Kwanzaa and just happy holidays for whatever you're celebrating during this time of year. For this week's episode, we're going to do something a little different. We're broadcasting a very special holiday segment and a couple of our favorite mini pods from throughout the year that will help you get through these times that can be challenging for some of you for many reasons. Maybe you've lost somebody. Maybe you're going through a breakup. Maybe you have political strife and disagreement in your family. Maybe you have a beef with friends. Whatever you're going through, you are welcome home here. You have a seat at our table always. And so we just wanted to get into a little conversation and talk about how to manage those challenging times and take a look back at some of our favorite conversations from the year. So pull up a chair and join us. All right. So I know I'll be honest, for me, the holidays are definitely challenging, but for a lot of people, it's a very joyful time. So I don't want to act like it's all doom and gloom for everybody. This year maybe felt a little different for a lot of people. But Andrew, what about you? You have little ones, though. I feel like little ones always bring an element of joy to the holidays.
Yeah.
So what you
they
got?
They bring an element of something. A broke, an empty wallet.
Completely
you
empty.
Know.
You hey, know, Davis.
They're home. Exactly. Except I'm calling all three of them by name. Likely the wrong ones. But anyway, the holidays absolutely shifted for me with, and I think Jay would reflect the same with kids, because it went from being about what I was going to get her and what she was going to get me and what we were getting our parents and siblings and whatnot to, like, how do we make this very special for the kids? I mean, we've created our own set of traditions around it, right? Like the day after Thanksgiving, the kids are like on me, Daddy, the tree, the lights, and we spend all day doing that. And they are as much a part of it as I am. In fact, they're more a part of it, and they take great pride in that. So much of it for our household has shifted to be, you know, the kids centerfold. But, you know, I'd be lying if I didn't, you know, also say that, you know, I have real strong thoughts about my family members who aren't with us. My brother Eric, who passed away actually the year that my twins were born in an accident. My father, who passed away, you know, a month and a half after my loss in the governor's race. And I have, you know, regrets that are revisited upon me during that time. I also am challenged typically as we approach the new year around like taking stock of what I did the last year. And like, am I proud of it? Am I let down by it? Did I let myself down? Are the people around me let down? Am I inspired by it? Did I do so much that I think, how am I going to top this in the coming year? Actually, I have to say I'm probably more triggered about the new year than I am about, you know, the sort of Christmas, Kwanzaa, you know, Hanukkah, you know, that part of the season. That part for me is more joyous, the beginning. But as I start to turn toward the next year, and because I am very self-critical, almost always my reflection is about how I want to do more and better and really get this thing done, really hit that goal, really organize myself differently, really pay attention to myself, or really pay attention to my partner. That gives me a lot of strain, and it's probably why I don't make resolutions anymore. Jay approaches the new year with a theme of like, I want to center myself more or something like that. I find those a little challenging. And I absolutely find, you know, the resolutions like just untenable for me. And it puts me in a real kind of awkward state. In fact, almost every New Year's Eve is sort of weird. I'm either trying to get mad at something, trying to get upset about something as an excuse for not having to deepen into like what I'm really afraid and terrified of, which is like a reflection and then a projecting forward about how to be better.
Or the police is coming down the street right now for somebody.
Oh, Lord, not in my house.
Here, always, anyway.
Well, I've never heard it before.
The whole podcast has been going. Anyway.
I just heard it now. Maybe Joe Biden is going to free some people. But
let us pray.
Let us pray. The holiday shifted for me. My grandmother was 105 and her birthday is on Christmas. And she passed away a couple of years ago. And my mom last year said she wanted to have a really big Christmas because she was just on the other side of a triple negative breast cancer diagnosis. And so we did a huge Christmas. I was exhausted for 3 days. I didn't want to get my feet hurting, everything. We cooked so much food and ordered pajamas for 65 people.
Yeah. Oh,
it was fun, but it was a lot. And so this year, with my mom wrestling with cancer again, you know, I've just been talking to her about, you know, what she wants to do. And she's just like, I don't know. So we're going to do something. I know this is after Christmas, but just being in full disclosure, we recorded this before Christmas because we weren't going to give that to y'all too. But I just, you know, I'm wrestling with what we're going to do and wanting to make sure that it's her way, you know.
Yeah.
But it is hard. And I think some of it is like, this aging tip was talking about little ones. I want little ones, and to not have them still to be doing stuff for Christmas is hard. But I'm so grateful for the kids who are in my life and for the many ways that you all make this holiday special. And it's just time to celebrate in my religion, my faith, the coming of the Savior. And so I'm always happy about that. Christmas carols is going, lights getting put up, trees getting put up. You guys, I ordered a black tree.
I was very here for a black tree.
Being black, everything black.
Oh, okay.
I might wear black next year for the uniform instead of jean. I'm feeling real black right now. So I even got a black tree with black ornaments. It's white lights, but it's all black everything on that damn tree.
I love it.
I don't know what that had to do with Tiff's question, but I felt like that was a good time to tell y'all.
It got everything to do with the question. I think
are y'all a white lights or a colored lights?
I have no tree in my house. I live alone, so lights. I used to get a real tree, and I would have my friend Mel, he would help me carry my tree up and decorate. And then I'm like, why am I doing this every year? I got pines all over my floor, and I got to clean it.
So I just stopped doing it.
It does, but it just became too much work. Right. So now I don't decorate.
Tree water so the pine needles don't fall as much.
No, they hurt.
But even carrying it in and out crazy. It's just too much. And it's like, I don't have kids. Like, why am I doing this? So I really don't do anything. Christmas Day is the day where I can binge watch whatever I want. I don't have the expectation that I got to respond to somebody's text. You know, I hate being on my phone. So it's just a day of relaxation and relief. For me, I think the sadness comes from there was a time where I was young and innocent to everything. And I was like surrounded by family and doing things. And I think that Christmas magic kind of left me and lost maybe I was around 11 or 12 when things were just happening in my family and it just didn't feel right. You know, it didn't feel like Christmas anymore. And so I entered adulthood way before I was an actual adult. And of course, you have all these, I can go anywhere I want on Christmas. I have so many invitations, but it's like, you know, I'm just going to take the day and chill. And sometimes I'll stop by people's house and get a plate, but I really just binge watch movies and relax. So I get that there's some heavy, it could be heaviness to be by yourself. It could be heaviness to be around people. I protect my peace. That is the mode I'm in. I'm instituting boundaries and protecting my peace. And being by myself feels right. When I say by myself, I mean like I'm not with my family, you know. You know, I might be with somebody.
When was the last time you were with your family?
Yeah. Tiffany, yeah. When was the last time you were with your family, Andrew asked?
Oh God. Honestly, probably the 90s.
Wow.
Yeah, probably.
And I was just getting ready to say when you were saying, oh, I binge watch. I was going to say, okay, Tiff, you've been saying an invitation to Seattle. I was about to be like, you ain't got to be by yourself, but you like, I ain't got to be around y'all neither.
Exactly. Yeah, and I have so many people who are like, come over, like friends and like people, you know, your friends become your family. And it's like people in close proximity, like, come over. But then that becomes a thing. And like, I got to pull myself together. And it's like, no, I ain't got to put no bra on today. I could put on my cute little flannel pajamas. I could eat whatever I want. Sometimes I order like from Joe's, like $300 of stone cold crabs. And I'm just like, eating it, you know, so I can enjoy myself in that way.
Yeah.
But I totally empathize because I'm not sad on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think about people who are sad, you know, who are like, I'm sad because I got to be around somebody, or I'm sad because there are no invitations for me. Like there is nowhere for me to go. And so I honor like what those people must, you know, what it must feel like for them. And they, again, y'all have a home here.
Well, who cooking since this is home? Who got the
Sometimes I cook for myself. The thing I make the best for when it comes to Christmas stuff is mac and cheese. I will battle anybody on mac and cheese. If you don't like my mac and cheese. If you don't like truffle, you might like it. But my mac and cheese, I like. I would have said dressing, Angela, but I
love dressing.
Yes. Oof. But Angela made this seafood dressing and seafood, she was telling us about it in our group chat. So I don't even want to compete for that. I'm like, just make me the seafood dressing. And I do a really good apple cobbler. Those are the things that I do.
I think we should have an NLP potluck because I want to try.
I'm so down.
I'm going to have to volunteer Jay. Jay is fantastic.
She did
you
not
talk about Jay's problems. Cooking, but you talk about your mother-in-law's cooking. Like
my mother-in-law and my mother all, and guess what? We're hosting and both and all of them going to be here. And so everybody's making something. And I eat, you know, my contribution is I do breakfast, you know, not quite a holiday
what
reservation.
What do you make,
you know?
Andrew? Right, give us some specifics.
Pancakes, eggs, bacon, sausage.
You make pancake batter from scratch or it's out the box?
Hell no, from the box.
Man, okay, well, let's move right along for this segment.
But everybody's pancakes from the box don't taste good.
Nick telling us we got to wreck
it. But I tell you,
it's all good.
That's why I didn't volunteer.
That's why I didn't volunteer any of my dishes, right?
Well, we still want to try them, Andrew. But before this space becomes unsafe, we want to talk to y'all about, is this space really safe? And that is a mini pod we did earlier this year. And that conversation, y'all, got pretty heated, which we don't love those, but it was important for us to engage and to speak our truth. We took an opportunity to ask ourselves, how do we create a safe space, given our pledge to you all every week to make sure Native Land Pod is a safe space? We hope that you enjoy this particular segment and maybe take away some tips for how you make a safe space for you and yours.
All right. Welcome home, everybody. This is Tiffany Cross, Andrew Gillum, and Angela Rye. And you are tuned into this week's mini pod. Welcome home again. Angela said our welcome home is not enthusiastic enough. So welcome home, y'all.
Welcome home, everybody. We mean it.
Andrew's still quiet, Storm, but it's
fine. We mean it. I mean it.
I don't have to be sincere. This is our home and this is your home. And just like any family, we have disagreements sometimes.
Sure.
And so we thought it was important to share one of those more heated, intense discussions that we had last week with you all. And to know that right after that podcast was over, maybe 10 minutes after, everybody was good. we were all back because that's how it works. We can say what we want to say about it. Andrew, do you want me to say the whole thing or you want me to say we were good?
I'll say this is I knew that in the moment, while we had already had a long day, and then of course we got into the subject of what value each of us puts on what we choose and desire to platform. And that does feel a little personal because you're now asking me what lens, what vet do I put on what I think we should be talking about on this show. And to the extent that we scrutinize each other's, you know, vetting, it can feel real personal. So I completely get that. But I will tell you this, and I think I said this to Angelo or Tiffany, I can't remember who, one of y'all, that what I knew in that moment, although it was very tense and whatnot, was that we were not going to leave New York without resolution, which is not something that I would bet on in many relationships that I know of. Friendships, romantic relationships, or otherwise, where you have confidence that there's enough love and respect in this space that before we leave this place, we will be reconciled. Even if it is, we still disagree, but guess what? It was never my intention to hurt you. And not, I'm really sorry that you were hurt by what I said. Like that backhanded thing, right?
Yeah.
That's not going to happen because that's not who we are. That's not who we are at this stage in our lives. And the other thing that I appreciate about who we are and not who we are about this stage in our lives is that I don't think either of us feel like we've got to beast one another. Like we got a one up and I don't feel like I have anything to prove to either one of you. What I feel like I want to do is to show up as my best self every time. And even in those moments where I can't, I want to be able to count on the fact that y'all know me well enough that you and love me and care for me enough that you'll have grace in those moments where we can't. And so I know y'all have more to say about this because you had some after conversation. I just felt like, I know it's heated right now, but you know what? Keep it pushing because we're not leaving this space without feeling complete.
I love that. I think, you know, I was feeling really defensive and I was telling Tiff when we walked out of the room, like we were all walking down the stairs quietly. We recorded some other evergreen content that honestly, y'all, it might end up being trash because my energy was completely off. I wouldn't even hardly look at Tiff. I was like looking sideways. Andrew feels like he was talking to himself, which doesn't just happen when we mad. Sometimes Andrew be to preaching anyway by himself. He'd be like, somebody gonna get it. Hello, lights. But the bottom line is I literally walked out the room. I turned around to Tiffany. I was like, you hurt my feelings. And I was in tears. And she was like, don't cry. You're going to make me cry. And that is, I mean, that's it. And I think that part of what happened is, you know, a lot of times in life, people aren't in tune with where they are on their journeys. Mm-hmm. And so I think I've done a lot of work from a therapy perspective to like, this person was rising up because sixth grade Angela showed up. Mm-hmm. I was feeling bullied. Nobody was saying anything to bully me, but I was feeling it. And Tiff, being the media strategist she is, she was like, oh my God, I could see that because you were literally sandwiched between me and Andrew and we were on the same side. You were in the middle. So you're like squished. I was like, oh my God, I didn't even think about that. So there's that. Plus, I'm not sleeping. We're working really hard on Marilyn Mosby's petition. Like, there's so many things happening. I'm waking up at Tiffany hours. And for any of you all that know me, know, like, I'm a night owl. So that means I'm sleeping, like, 3 or 4 hours right now.
Literally.
So I think I was uniquely tender from that. Just like when you have a little kid, if it's your child, you know, it's like, oh, no, you need to go to bed. It was one of those moments. You're sleepy. You're not thinking clearly. You're delirious. And I was feeling tender. And so I thank God for this safe pod space that we've created where I could say I'm feeling tender. And when Tiff said, you think I said that? How I heard it. was very different than her intention, because she started feeling defensive. Like, how could you possibly think I was saying that? And I was like, why would you talk to me in that tone? And then we were crying. And then Andrew missed all the tears. But I think deep down somewhere, he probably had one single thug tear.
That Denzel because, tear.
Mm-hmm, oh, Jesus, he will cry with please. Us every now and then. Not the glory tear, too. But I will also just say, I think one of the things that that moment did for me, you guys, is it made me connect to what our listeners may have felt when they talked about how we answer questions. And so the question I have today really is, in this space that we created, our pod, our unique little bubble, our safety bubble, what is our obligation to each other and then to our broader audience to hold that safe space, to ensure that people don't feel over attacked, that they don't feel like they're being put on the defensive, that they don't feel like we're trivializing what they say, and certainly that we're not doing that to each other? And then what is our responsibility when somebody may have a trigger that maybe we're not even aware of? Like, how do you navigate that space? I think this is one thing that will help us not only be a better podcast, but better people to be in relationship with, whether it's your church community, your family, your friends, whomever. Like, what is our responsibility collectively and as individuals to create safety?
Sure. Well, I will give my assessment in answering that question. I think, you know, Angela, you carry a lot. And we're all type A personality, like extreme type A personalities. And it's very few people, being a type A personality, is very few people who I'm going to trust that you have it all together. But Angela is definitely one of those people. If Angela's like, I'm taking lead on this, I trust that you have it all together. So my takeaway might be a little different from both you guys. My takeaway is, just because there are people in your life and your circle who are always on top of things, who always have it together, we have to also caution ourselves that we're not doing the superwoman myth on these people, you know? Because honestly, the way I thought, I expected this to be a brawl in how we cover, but not a brawl in the way that it was, but that Angela was going to feel really strongly and come back and say, well, let me tell you why you and Andrew are wrong. And I think I did not in that moment hold space for everything Angela was feeling and going through and doing. And so the lesson, I think, as a takeaway is, don't assume because the person in your life that's always juggling everything, is always on top of it, is always that person. Like, we all have a right to, you know, have a moment, you know, and Angela, you're always quick to take ownership of things. And I'm like, I don't think it's all on anybody. You know, I think it's in how we all collectively hold space for each other. I'm giving sometimes, you know, Andrew was, you know, saying we needn't be so highbrow or whatever. Like, Andrew said that to me sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I wanted him to say it on air that day, because I'm like, there are probably people out there who feel that way, you know. I like highlighting our different perspectives and disagreement, because we, you know, we get to do that here. We didn't get to do that in other spaces because we were like under the umbrella of like Black commentators, but we're not homogenous in our community. And so we get to have these nuanced disagreements in what we cover. I thought it was a really robust conversation, that one. I don't like when things escalate to that level, but the comfort in being friends with people for multiple decades, as you know, this is family, and it's going, whether we want it to be good or not, we're going to be good, you know? And we communicate spoken and unspoken, you know? And so I wish Andrew had been on his job and had been following me and Angela with some behind the scenes footage.
No.
And getting us hugging in the alley, whatever. But it just, I thought it just highlighted,
I knew it was happening,
a different lesson. I know, but then you should have been out there on camera with your camera phone.
No, because
this is not loving hip hop,
No.
Like our BTS.
And I think we all deal with like these things differently, right? So Angela, at a different point, may have needed us to lean in or to pull out. But you and I may have a different relationship with conflict, or with the way in which conflict is handled. So for instance, if things get too emotional, for a long time for me, if things got really emotional, my first comment was, and Jay is going to like amen this, was, you're not a victim. We both have our grievances here. This is you. This is where I am. Da, 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 da. But neither of us are victims here. And it was, now that in reflection, I'm thinking, what a harsh, insensitive and like non-loving way to approach a conflict is to say, like, you're not a victim. That is like the worst place to go with it. And thank God for Angela introducing me to therapy in a way that I had never been before. Really helped me to get outside of it, because the only thing I needed to hear was, how are you feeling? And whether I feel like I did something to necessitate that or not, the truth is that a person who I love and care deeply about reacted to a thing that I did or said in this way, and that isn't what I want to happen. I want you to hear me clearly, but I certainly don't want to level you in the process. Yeah. I don't want you to walk away feeling like you're less intelligent, or you have less to contribute, or that your voice isn't as important or as valued. And I'll just disclose, you know, Angela and I had a conversation yesterday after our Don Lemon interview, and I was, you know, saying to her that, you know, I've sort of gotten used to, at least in some ways in our podcast, like not really fighting for the space in every conversation. Like if comments are being had or being said, and either I'm not invited directly into it, or the conversation takes place and I've not made a contribution, my default position might be like, okay, I'm not of value at this space and in this time. And the adjustment or the compromise I made with myself is like, okay, just accept that in some spaces and at certain times you won't be of value. And what Angela was pointing out was that may be an incident where you might not feel that way, but to the point that that becomes now your conduct, you've negotiated yourself into a space where every week you now feel like you have to just sort of sit with it, be quiet, keep it moving, time is going, I don't know how to shut up. Whatever the things is that the self-talk that I'm telling myself, now we are completely disrupting the very environment we're trying to create for ourselves. Yeah. The very environment we're trying to create is that I don't have to be curated through the world's lens. That if this conversation takes me away from one about politics and one about the fact that, gosh, I feel, you know, no real worth in this moment. And I don't want to be in a, I have too much respect for myself, I'd like to think, that I don't want to be anywhere where my contribution isn't valued, where I'm not making a contribution at all. And to your point, Angela, about where we have to be respectful and where do our listeners show up, they show up all the way through this. I can't tell y'all, if you're on the listening side of this, what it did to Angela and Tiffany when we got some comments about from some of the listeners who said, I felt like you all disrespected the questioner here. Like you just completely, I'm sitting here with them on a, you know, on the telephone, and they're like, I can't believe that. I can't believe I wasn't aware of that. And this and the third, and they're going back and forth. I'm like, y'all, you want to call them on three-way? Y'all want to FaceTime? I mean, like,
he literally said that.
No, I was saying
he was genuine. That's the scary part. He really wanted to FaceTime these people.
I absolutely was serious. I was like, we have to unburden this. And I'm really sick of this. I can't believe we said that. And I got to go back and look at the video and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, look, what y'all want to do about it? And so just know that it isn't anyone's intention to go that way. And I think in our apology the following week, I mentioned that sometimes we're not even responding directly to what the question which is part of our obligation to respond to what the question is, because you posed it and we respect you enough to give you an answer. But we're responding to all of the clouds, the layers of stuff that we've had to dig through all week and all of everybody else's misimpressions about that thing. And now we feel like, oh, this is the window to correct the rest of the world, not you, the questioner, but the rest of the world on that perspective. And so I have nothing but love and respect for our audience. And that has to mean more than our words, that it has to be manifest in our actions, not just in the way that we experience it, but also the way that you, our listeners, experience it. And that's just a work in progress. Mm-hmm. But know our heart, please.
All right, y'all, we're going to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere, because we still want to talk more about how to create safe spaces, not just for us, but for you as well. We'll be right back. And I even like having this conversation and putting it out there for our viewers, because I want the audience to feel like they are part of the conversation. And I think what they appreciated about the mini pod last week is they felt like they were eavesdropping on a private disagreement with all of us. And I think all of us maintain how we feel. I don't think, Angela, you feel any different. I don't think, Andrew, you feel any different. I don't feel any different. And it's like, yeah, we can have these three opposing points of view and still come together as family, as friends, and, you know, spend time with each other and laugh, and, you know, nothing changes. And I think that's what we're, the society we're trying to build and go for. In terms of our audience and the things that we platform here and creating a safe space for our viewers, and for each other, I just want to make this plea to our audience and say, even when we disagree with you, we love you. You know, I think that I often say this to Angela, and I probably said this to you too, Andrew, like, I think as Black people, we don't have the privilege to dislike each other.
Nobody's, you know, disposable.
Right. And but there are people who, you know, they're not my favorite people, you know. So among us, I'm like, I don't really rock with him. I don't really rock with her. But out here in this world, if something were happening, then I got to be a part of the army defending that person, you know. Right. And so we feel that way. Even when you give a comment that I feel is a little disrespectful to the WNBA, we still welcome you, brother. We welcome your comment. You know, like, you're going to have to get some of this smoke.
I think it was a hoax, but yeah.
Well, either way, it, you know, I hope it wasn't. I hope he had more respect for us than to be given a hoax, but who knows? Even when we disagree, though, we want you to pull up a seat to this table. You know, we've all come from spaces where we didn't feel welcome. For 24 years, I didn't feel welcome in, you know, mostly white-run newsrooms that constantly dismiss my input and value and opinions. So I don't ever want either of my co-hosts to feel like they don't have value. And I certainly don't want our audience, who shows up to us every week, twice a week, to hear us, to not feel like they have value. So we thank y'all for rocking with us, for tuning in every week. I thank you, Angela, for inviting me and Andrew to be part of this podcast and build this thing brick by brick with you. I thank you, Andrew, for the times that we have on this podcast. But honestly, my favorite time is when we're not on the podcast, and when it's just when Andrew and I get one-on-one time. I feel like it's so calming. I'm always telling you some personal drama I have or something, you know. Only if Angela's off doing something, she's on a flight, she's doing something else. And I'm all about, like, where's a good restaurant? And so Andrew and I'll go eat sometimes. But Angela and I also spend a lot of time too, as the ladies. We have a whole girl group. So I get my alone time with each of them. But with Andrew, I just I truly value you both personally and professionally. Mm-hmm. So I love y'all for having the space, and just thank y'all for dealing on the days when I'm giving whatever I'm giving, when I'm giving highbrow to Andrew. You know, let me tell y'all what Andrew told
me. By the way,
Andrew told me, y'all don't hear it.
Oh, highbrow.
When we were walking in Central Park, basically.
I didn't say bougie yet. I can say bougie.
I didn't say, but you gave that energy.
He was so,
it sounds like
smooth jazz. When you know how he does, Angela. And he was like, I was a bit elevated at the time. And sometimes when I'm it means I go inward. Okay.
Can you tell me what elevated means? What
it means that I had a mood altering substance that sent me on a flight.
Okay.
And so it's a good, beautiful day. I roll it through Central Park. And Andrew was talking to me and I hear it. But sometimes your thoughts are like, they run away and you're like, no, but wait. And the thought is gone. And Andrew was like, you know, when you get like this, you just have this judgmental look on your face and I don't care for it.
She's just exuding judgment.
It's it's not even any judgment, but I was laughing so hard because he said it was just so funny to me. I'm like,
it's so proper.
This should be yes.
No,
I don't care for it.
Just appreciate the fact that in most places I wouldn't have two words to say to the other person about how it is they look or what they're giving.
Andrew, you give the craziest cuss outs with no cuss words and big words. Sometimes you make up the words along the way as well.
I can make up some words. You and Jay agree.
Andrew
has his moments
hilarious.
Where he's had enough. All right, do we feel complete with this conversation?
Well,
we didn't
read the comment I wanted to.
Oh, yeah, you need to share the comment, please. Are we going to say who it's from?
I believe it's Janice Paris Wright.
Okay.
And it says, I have been listening to your podcast since episode one. Just so y'all know, we are not going to make a practice of reading these comments. We expect for you to send in videos, but just because it was on point. Since episode one, I share the podcast a few times. I believe in what you are doing because it is imperative and needed. After listening to your last mini pod, I resonate with all your viewpoints because they are valid. I must say I lean toward Angela, as I too was blindsided, as I would have never imagined millions on millions of people could ever be scammed by Trump. I am from NYC, and my very arrogance thought people knew he was deplorable in every aspect of being, empty, nothing good, and possibly evil. Keep going and know that your valuable information is appreciated. Keep fighting for the good. And as you know, great things start small sometimes. I love the podcast.
Thank you, sis.
I love that comment. I love that she shared. Well, sure you love it, Angela.
I really didn't think like she was like, I agree with her screaming on the podcast. Yeah. She was saying she agreed with like being blindsided by like, y'all really think you could vote for this? That was
I get it. Yeah.
So not that part, but yes, I
get it. I appreciate that no matter how we feel or what we say, we're three intelligent people with people out there who will reflect back like, yes, you had a good point, or yes, I agree with you, or yes, I agree with all three of you all. I think that's what it's for. So I like that you don't want all three of us having the same perspective, coming up with the same ideas.
And we won't.
You know? Yeah.
We don't. But the one thing I would love to ask our listeners, if you guys don't mind, is we didn't dive enough into what it looks like to create a safe space. And since we are so lacking in safety in so many places, some people at home don't have safety. Some people at work don't have safety. Some people in their neighborhoods don't have safety. What does it look like? What does it look like to create safety on this podcast for you? What would it look like to be in this bubble with us and to feel like you have a safe place to process your political gripes, to get talking points to take back to your families and to your communities? What does it look like to create safety here?
Do we want that on video or in comments or both?
I would love the videos. I love
because I want to play them and see them.
I want the video responses. We have a video on our Instagram page at Native Lamb Pod where you can see how to submit a video. We will repost that in our stories when this airs so you all can send in your videos and let us know what safety looks like to you on NLP.
I like that. We love the money that jingles, but we prefer the kind that folds.
Let me find out.
We did a whole Broadway routine in Central Park. We in our movies. We did a whole thing. Anyway, stay tuned for me and Andrew.
He's got some movie lines.
Coming to America.
We have a whole
classic
routine. All right.
Welcome home, everybody.
That's a future episode. Welcome home. Thanks for listening, y'all. Welcome home.
So this is one of my favorite episodes. In fact, ladies, I don't know if you'll remember, but it came up because we were at the DNC convention and Angela may have said something. I think I responded, it's safer there. And that spawned you like, this is a mini pod. Is it safer in the shallow or the deep? And all of us have relationships, close and otherwise, where we're constantly asking ourselves the question, like, how much do we reveal? Is it safe if I reveal this? Do I hold back? Is it better to keep it superficial, with niceties and positive encounters every time? And we debate the question. And I am still trying to answer for myself. Take a listen. I'd love to hear what you all think. Is it safer in the shallow or the deep?
So, I don't remember how this question came about.
In Miami.
I know it was in Miami. And somehow we started talking about the shallow end and the deep.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Andrew said that it was safer in the shallow.
Yeah.
I wonder if that indeed is the case. And so I am hoping that we can discuss some of these. I have some questions that I want to ask y'all. I think the first thing is to talk about like what it is frowned upon for someone to be deemed as shallow, right? Like if someone is like, oh, they're shallow.
It's an insult.
What is that? What does that mean? Like, what does it mean for someone to be shallow to you, Tiff? What does it mean? If you're like, oh, this person is shallow. What does that mean?
That everything is surface, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can't even have a philosophical.
Philosophical.
Yes, if you can be philosophical.
Say the third.
I think that Tiff might be shallow today.
They cannot have a philosophical discussion. Like, they couldn't even participate
in you what we're trying to participate
in. We cannot have a serious podcast today.
They're making me laugh.
Andrew, I'm not looking at them. They're making me laugh.
We're not even doing anything. It's just my face.
They can't have a philosophical discussion. I'm not looking at you all. And when you, like, they're not engaged on anything beyond what I would consider, like, BS issue. Even if we're talking about, like, celebrity gossip. Like, it stays at, you know, celebrity gossip. If we're talking about rap lyrics, you know, like, everything is just kind of, who cares? But can I say, though, I have a friend who doesn't read any news. All of her information comes from, like, Instagram, you know? She is a mother, but she's, like, the embodiment of love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think these two things are related. Because I think it's easy to go through the day and maybe through life being joyful when you're oblivious to all the misery happening.
Mm.
And I've read this in a book somewhere, and they said that humanity does not function on human kindness. It actually functions on human callousness. Because if any of us ever truly confronted the monstrosities that happen every day, as human beings, we would not be able to function. So there is some safety, perhaps, in staying in the shallow.
But even your friend who reads, who doesn't read papers, doesn't necessarily mean that she's shallow. Are we talking about substantively
That's
shallow?
That's true, because she's not shallow.
Like, it, yeah.
She's
like,
joyful.
Like, intellectually shallow, or are we saying that is there more than one way to be shallow?
Yeah, I think people who find it difficult choose not to, or don't have the ability to see or understand subtext.
Yeah.
Like, beyond what is said and what is obvious, that there's a refusal, either deliberately or an absence of ability to see beneath. And there are some people, I think, who use the tool of shallowness simply as that, a tool.
Yeah, like a defense mechanism.
Or I will get you coming the other way. It's sort of like you
What's
won't see
mean?
Me coming. It's sort of like you won't see me coming. So you ever been in community with people who you may have relegated to the category of shallow, not deep, not the person you're going to go to for a real conversation? And then in an instance, you happen to listen or you happen to hear them and something that they have said really pricks your consciousness because it isn't on the superficial. It is. They sort of had a moment where they revealed that I'm as deep as you.
Right.
I can go there if I want to. I choose to keep this relationship where it is so that I don't have to do this, that, and the third
with you. I have experienced
you.
That, yes.
And I think that I have experienced people who have used the veneer of superficiality as a way to cover for what I've come to learn as a much deeper thinker, analyzer, and quite frankly, operator.
Yeah. You know,
and an operator to their benefit, right? To their interests.
One of the things I'm thinking about now, because it's like if you contrast between somebody who is shallow and someone who is deep, at least theoretically, or maybe they vacillate between the two. The person who I was just thinking about is Congressman Benny Thompson. He is not shallow at all, but he says things that feel sometimes that feel very surface. Like he can reach you at USA Today and it has, you know, some Shakespeare-like meaning and it doesn't even sink in like that until later. We were having a conversation recently and I'll speak more vaguely, but I was in trouble because he felt like I wasn't reaching out the way that I should. And he was right. And he was just like, something like, you know, I was like, so I called him the next or a couple of days later and I said, I'm just calling to check in. I don't want anything. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure you knew that I was here. And he was like, yeah, I'm just telling you to just check in every now and then. And he was like, he was making fun of me. He's like, I talk to your dad more than you. My dad calls all of them all the time. On a surface level, on a shallow level, it sounds like just tapping in every now and then is a very shallow point. But it is. It actually isn't. Like it is. There's a ton of depth attached to it.
For sure.
When you check in with someone, it creates attachment. Mm-hmm. It creates relationship, and it ensures that people know just what's going on in people's everyday lives. When you don't check in with someone, you don't necessarily know they need surgery, or you don't necessarily know that someone in their family is struggling, or you know there are all of these different layers that you miss from what feels like a relatively shallow touch.
Yeah. Also, I find with those shallow touches, it might appear, if you want to categorize it that way, that those touch-ins also provide just that nugget. Like something happens in the course of that exchange.
Yeah.
That, again, might transform the battle that you might be in. He may not be as clueless about the battles you're fighting as you think he is. Maybe
never
much
is.
More tuned in to
he
it.
He never is.
And that
he's
moment where
in.
You choose to check in.
Yeah.
He may be the salve, and something that he says may be the salve that you've been looking for, and you just didn't know it. I found with my father that while he didn't talk a lot to us, right, unless it was a directive, that when he did choose to say something, he was really saying some stuff.
Yes.
And I didn't always get it. He'd say, he'd have the saying, don't take no wooden nickels off nobody.
Mm-hmm. Like,
what is a wooden nickel? Well, you're right. They don't exist. There is no wooden nickel.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It didn't spend. And in other words, it's like, don't be tricked. Don't be fooled. Mm-hmm. Don't be, you know, whatever. I've shared this when I talked about my own testimony where he says, you know, son, don't believe the hype.
Mm-hmm.
Like the hype. He's like, yeah, if you believe what they say good about you, you believe what they say bad, and you'll be a slave to them both. And I had no way to seed that
mm-hmm.
properly at the time. But his advice then was as prescient, you know, as ever. And if I would have applied it properly, sometimes you need the experience, to, you know, of what not to do before you can
absolutely,
appreciate
yeah.
the, you know, the advice. But had I known, man, it would have been. But most people would have thought my daddy was just, his nickname was Sonny. You know, almost like, you know, bright and,
yeah.
and cheery. He never met a stranger. In fact, at my graduation, he's like, oh, too little time, so many people. You know, he needs to get around
God.
To
yeah.
you know, every, your dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got to
yeah.
get around and touch and meet and meet everybody. So you just thought it was just happy, you know, good, go lucky. And in truth, he was an observer,
mm-hmm.
very perceptive of people, incredibly
yeah.
aged and wise, you know, advice. And so even in this conversation about what's deep and what's superficial, a lot of people who think they're deep ain't saying that at all.
Exactly
the point. Right? They're confused.
Yes.
They're very confused.
So Michelle Obama makes a good point. She's like, when she was around all these like heads of state and the, you know, high profile people, it's like, y'all, some of y'all ain't that smart.
Yeah.
And I used to have that. I mean, we say imposter syndrome, but I think imposter syndrome is when a white man came along and told you weren't good enough to
sure.
do something and it stuck
sure.
with you.
Sure.
Because you're not born with that. And I remember feeling like everyone around me must know something
yeah.
that I don't. And
yeah.
so you start talking to folks and it's like,
yeah.
you, I actually know more than
yeah,
you.
The
yeah.
emperor
but what
has
I
no
don't
clothes.
Know, I can
all.
Learn.
But
you ain't gonna learn what I know.
Yeah.
You know, some things that we know is just by osmosis. I think I choose to be shallow on some things.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go out of my way to force myself because I have to be honest. On days, it might be a random Saturday where I don't read anything. I might read a book of work of fiction, but my spirit does feel a little lighter when I don't.
Here's the question, because this is the second time now when referencing deep or shallow, you go right
knowledge.
Into like, yeah,
news,
like,
knowledge.
Or
knowledge.
And reading something. So
mm-hmm.
your friend who you said is so loving, but you're like, she doesn't read anything.
She's not shallow. She's really deep.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but then you said on your shallow days, you're not reading something. I wonder how we then define.
That's good. Yeah.
You know, depth. Like, is depth
sure.
just book knowledge?
That's
is
true. How
smart?
Do we define depth?
That's why I said subtext, because I couldn't get to the knowledge place because I thought, I don't know that it is about.
Come back.
I don't know that it is about our degrees or what we read.
I don't think
or how much information, that sort of thing. I think it's like what you see is not.
What
you
get.
The ability
yeah.
to sort of discern what you see isn't what it really is. And that applies across, you know, the range of subject matter, so on and so forth, that it takes work
mm-hmm.
to investigate a subtext. It takes effort. You have to put energy, the expenditure of energy, into trying to figure out what somebody's trying to communicate to you
mm-hmm.
or what they're saying without saying it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of us really do choose in different relationships at different moments whether or not we just want to keep this there or if we're willing to go the layers beneath. And so maybe we're not perpetually any of it.
That I think is so true because when I consider the people who are like vulnerable off top, to me, that's deeper than someone who is like, hey, how you doing? You good? You look good.
Uh-huh.
Looks good. That's very surface. But someone who can say,
man, you know, I've been going through a lot, you know, I'm behind on my taxes. I got my kid is struggling. Mm-hmm. Like they're putting it all on the surface, yeah. but they've done the work for that stuff to come out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so different. And that is a form of depth. And so yeah. that is my question. When we consider the space that we're creating on this podcast or the people that we want to be in the world, is it really safer on the shallow end? Is it safer in the shallow for us than in the deep where, you know, on the shallow end, are you really known? Can you really be yourself in the shallow when you know you're multidimensional and have all these layers? Like, is that really safe where you're not yourself?
Is it safer for you, Angela, in the shallow?
Hell no, I'm a Scorpio girl.
Yeah, you like being in the deep.
I need you to stare into, see my soul.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to see yours. And I would prefer if I didn't have to navigate through some crazy forest and some booby traps and stuff to get there.
What about you?
I think for people who I know and love, I'm like you, I want to be known. But I have to say that is fairly new for me.
Mm.
You said this to me a while ago. Angela and I had two fights.
We had one fight.
No, we had two.
What was the second one?
The second one we aired, first one. So y'all know that
Andrew, Andrew was like, can't we all just get along?
No. People in the comments funny on Andrew. They're like, I love the way Andrew handles Angela and Tiffany.
He's like, there's like, okay, Dad.
I don't handle.
No,
I
literally just, the first one.
No,
was,
that's not true.
Our first one was over a guy. And
what?
You remember we were at lunch and
it wasn't my potential boo. That sound like you sound like Monica and Brandy.
The boy is mine.
Well, I was gonna say I must know.
And that my thought was he don't deserve your ass.
Yes. That was Angela's point was he doesn't deserve you.
Not even to breathe your air.
Yes. Yeah. She was right, for the record. Yeah. But
imagine that.
No offense to the listener.
But what? Yes. No, much offense if he's listening. But
I meant it. I said it.
And I echo it now. Oh, but what you said to me, which I had
she endorses,
not,
improves this message.
I'm Tiffany Cross, and I approve that message. But what you said to me at the time, I had not heard before. The question hadn't been posed to me before. And you said, I wonder when you come home to yourself, .. It was some other stuff after that. But I thought about that. What does that mean to come home to myself? Because I had been in the shallow with myself for a long time.
Mm.
But when you go deep, our other sister friend, Latasha Brown, said this to me. I'm going to go from laughing to crying.
You said I got to cry too.
But this was good. Latasha said this to me. Latasha Brown, she was telling me when I was just going through a lot. And she said, you know, this sounds mean, but she is a body of love. And she said, it's like you have a bowl of shit and you have put flowers on top.
Mm.
You spray perfume on top and you present that to the world.
Yeah.
But this is like, this is okay. And you present that to people who you are want to get to know. But the thing about shit, you can't cover up shit. And until you deal with that shit deep inside, you have to clean that out first for those flowers to really bloom. And I hope this encourages somebody today, because that is when I realized, oh, this is the journey home to myself.
Yeah.
It's not, this happened to me and I'm moving on. It's like, no, feel your feelings. Sit in your feelings.
Sit in them.
Be self. Your friends, the people around you, reflect back to you who you are.
Mm-hmm.
See that ugly reflection and work on it and clean it out and come home to yourself. Because you leave home and you go out there and work through all your trauma that your parents in childhood unintentionally.
Yeah.
And then on that journey home back to yourself, it's like, oh, let me get rid of this. Get rid of this shit and let flowers bloom. So I'm recently in deep with myself.
Yeah.
But for a long time, even unbeknownst to myself, I was in the shallow.
Wow.
I didn't even expect to get that deep on y'all.
So I like that. And I appreciate I appreciate the trust. All right, y'all, we're going to take a quick break and be right back. I think for me, I definitely took a long way around to the invitation for people to know me more deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And one, because I didn't think people were that interested in the depth, right? It was, I sort of saw myself as a production wheel. What can you put out? What can you put out? Give me more, so that sort of thing. And therapy, largely thanks to Angela, and RJ's insistence of sitting down and just sort of figuring out how to come home to myself. And that when you do that, you are a lot less concerned about people's thoughts, perceptions, feelings about you, not in a disrespectful way, but just in a way that, you know what, I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to do it because it's in my pleasure, not because this is what your expectation is of me, this is what you want from me, or I'm not in a performative state, mm-hmm. but rather if I come up to you and I engage in something at a deeper level, it's simply because it was in my pleasure
mm-hmm.
at the wow. time.
Yeah.
And if we don't get to that, I'm not being superficial with you. I'm just saying, what's up? How you doing? I hope all is well.
Yeah.
And
that's
I mean
not necessarily
it sincerely,
the shallow.
And I'm moving on and yeah. you should as well. We had a positive encounter because we did, and I do wish you well, but I didn't open an invitation to know that the world was upside down for you.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because everybody doesn't deserve that.
Everybody
hadn't earned
doesn't.
That from you. Everyone
I love that.
It shouldn't be treated to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that is a denial of yourself. I don't think that is a departure from who mm-hmm. you are. I don't think that is putting on. Certainly, if you're acting without expectation. I'm not mm-hmm. doing this thing because I want this thing to be said back to me in return. I didn't do that thing for you to compliment me. I didn't
yeah.
give that speech for you to be wowed, bowed over and say, oh, you're an excellent speaker. I did it and I said it and it came out that way because it was in my pleasure. It was in my truth. I stood mm-hmm. there. And if you get something from it, good. And if you didn't, that's okay too.
Yeah.
Because I did it not in service to that, but in service to me. And by being in service to me, that God knows it, I believe it will bless beyond.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there was no intention in doing it that way or doing it at all, and therefore it wouldn't have happened. So I think we choose the moments at which we have our reveals,
mm-hmm.
whatever those reveals may be. And I don't want to judge them, mm-hmm. those reveals. It's just that's where you and I are
mm-hmm.
with each other. And we might encounter each other on another day, and we may be someplace different because you may be someplace different. And
yeah.
your expectation of me may be different
yeah.
at that time. But what I like about this conversation is I think where we're leading to is that we're taking the value judgment off of the shallow from the depth.
Yeah.
And exploring what it means. Because I appreciate
what
you saying
this
is the second time you brought up reading something or like knowledge and what I perceive it to be. But that's not really the shallow or the deep. Like that's just, you know,
well, it's
what,
a form of
interest.
It. It's intellectual depth. But is
yeah.
there's another kind that I think results in real human connection, right? Like intimacy, people will say, means into me, see.
Mm-hmm.
And can you do that if there's a shell or there's a layer or there's a barrier that really, you know, maybe came as a result of a very deeply wounded place, but has created a barrier that feels very shallow. We talk about creating a safe space here. We can't create a safe space here for our podcast if we're not safe spaces
for, sure.
for ourselves
mm-hmm.
as co-hosts and also as individuals.
Yeah.
And that is a regular journey in return home to yourselves. Yeah. I also don't want to take credit for that. That's a Yachty saying to return home to ourselves. But it is a regular return. Like you think about going home
Absolutely.
Every single day. You have to go and check back in
mm-hmm.
every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes multiple times a day. Like, where am I, right?
Yeah.
Am I still who
yeah.
I say I am? Am I, you know, where are my conflicts? Where are my flat sides? Every single week on this podcast, I feel like there's something glaring where I'm like, oh my God, I see my hypocrisy here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna call it out
yeah.
so
yeah.
I can be accountable to y'all, our listeners, and keep growing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is also a return home to myself.
Yeah.
And you were talking about the reveal. We literally are shedding layers.
Yeah.
You know, every day, probably multiple hours in a day.
Yeah.
We're shedding these layers. And so my hope is that in this conversation that will never end,
because
we're constantly wading a little bit deeper, we hope that you all will consider what depth really means and how you can wade in and out of the shallow, but making sure that you know how to create safety for yourself. So that
safety.
Yeah.
Can
safety.
I just say one more thing?
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking about creating safe space for co-hosts, to me, that's the easier part.
Mm-hmm.
Creating the individual
yeah.
part is the hardest mm-hmm. part. Like being at peace internally and seeing your hypocrisy. You know, when you watch yourself, when you hear yourself
mm-hmm.
and it's like, oh, that is something that I have to sit in,
yeah.
that I have to address, I have to deal with, I have to unpack and come out better on the other side. And I don't know that we have an answer to the question.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be safer in the deep end, But you have to learn to be comfortable in the deep end mm-hmm. with yourself mm-hmm. because that's your home.
That is your home.
Yeah. Welcome home, y'all.
Welcome home.
Welcome home, y'all.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into this very special episode of Native Land Pod, our holiday season edition. And we're so mm-hmm. happy that you pulled up a chair and joined us at our table. You got some good recipe ideas and also some good philosophical exchange from us from our mini pods over the years. So stay tuned for that Native Land potluck because we may be revisiting that. As always, we do want to remind you to leave us a review. What did you think about this episode? You got time to leave us a review. So leave us a review and let us know what you thought about this episode. Also, be sure to subscribe. We're available on all platforms and YouTube. And don't forget to check out our mini pods. You saw, got a clip of what some of those mini pods are going forward. Be sure to check them out. They air every Monday. And follow us on social media. We are your hosts, Tiffany Cross, Angela Rye, and Andrew Gillum. Happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays.
Thank you for joining the natives. Intentional with the info on all of the latest. Rye, Gillum, and Cross connected to the statements that you leave on our socials. Thank you sincerely for the patience. Reason for your choices clear. We're so grateful. It took the oath to execute roles.
WICT Pittsburgh. It's more fun when it doesn't make any sense.